Hey folks, and welcome to another episode of Podcraft. This is the show about everything podcasting, from equipment to monetization and everything in between. I'm Colin Gray, and I'm joined by Matthew. How you doing, Matthew?
Good day. I noticed on our last episode you said I'm joined, as always, by Matthew, and that's not really true.
It's not in Podcraft, you're right. Yeah. I just say that by habit, absolutely.
So I never picked up on it at the time, but when I listened back, I went, oh.
That's a lie. That's a big lie.
So, yeah. But here we are again.
I'm joined this time by Matthew.
Yeah, for the second consecutive episode.
Indeed. And this is episode, we kind of retrospectively put this into season 8, didn't we? We're now saying this is season 8.
Yeah.
Because Podcraft's always been, if you're a regular listener, you know Podcraft's always been a seasons-based show. But this season, we're really doing not so much a topic or a theme or teaching you something long-term over a bunch of episodes. We're really just doing listener questions, similar to the Q&A or the FAQs we did last time around. Because we just want to get into recording regular episodes again, and we get a lot of questions in, so why not answer them, eh?
Yeah, it takes the pressure off, and sometimes there's, like, if we reply to people individually, you know, it's stuff that would benefit others.
Everyone
as well.
Anyway, yeah.
So totally. it makes sense. We're podcasters.
Indeed.
Let's do a podcast.
That's a podcast. So this is episode 2 of season 8, so if you want to see the show notes, go over to podcraft.net/802, and you'll find the show notes there. All right, what are we talking about?
iTunes. So we do another podcast as well, don't we? It's called The Numbers
Game.
Indeed. And you got an elevator pitch for The Numbers Game, just to get a wee plug-in?
Yeah, the tagline is, we talk about the numbers that everyone else pretends to ignore, which the elevator pitch for that, I suppose, is that we wanted to just start being a bit more transparent with the business, didn't we? So we're telling the story of everything that's going on behind the podcast host, how we're growing a content business, how we're growing the numbers that we care about, which is, you know, web stats, income, email opt-ins, and what's the other one? Content, so how much we're getting out. So yeah, how much we're publishing as well. So we're basically talking about what we're doing week in, week out at the podcast host, and running experiments. So that's the bit I love about it. We're running these experiments to try and grow those numbers. So we're talking about what the numbers are right now, revealing all that stuff, and talking about experiments people can join in with to grow those numbers along with us.
Yeah, so we'd got a wee bit of feedback on Twitter from Owen Phillipson, who I believe does a cycling podcast, you, Colin.
Yeah, the Drum Up podcast. You can search for it on iTunes. You should find it. Is that the name? Yeah, no, I think it is. Aye, the Drum Up podcast. You'll hit me because one doesn't live far away.
Somebody else
smack me one if I give him the wrong podcast.
Cycling podcast.
Go for it. I'll quickly look that up in the background as you're talking.
So we'd been having a conversation on The Numbers Game. I can't actually remember doing this, but we'd mentioned New Noteworthy. Apparently, one of us had said, we'll maybe get a New Noteworthy. We said we were joking. And Owen had asked an honest question, like, is that because it's actually not hard to get in? To New and Noteworthy. So I suppose, like, yeah, why were we laughing about New and Noteworthy?
Yeah.
And it sort of ties in with a couple of articles that we'd put out on the website recently.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I put out an article on iTunes rankings and how, you know, people do get obsessed with them, want to see their podcast up there in a top list or on the front page.
Yeah.
And we got a lot of good data from Rob Walsh at Libsyn. And I listened to a lot of different episodes where he talked about various things, because over the last few years, that's where I've kind of got all my, you know, he seems to be the most qualified. He has a lot of contact with the folks at Apple. So
And they're good and open about their own stats, which give them
a
good sort of bit of credentials as well, aren't they? So yeah.
So I'd put together this article about how the iTunes rankings work, and part of that was New and Noteworthy, because especially when you're a new podcaster, you go into podcasting and you think, maybe I'll get a New and Noteworthy, and it's seen as this sort of big holy grail, where if you get featured in New and Noteworthy, you'll get loads and loads of downloads, and then you'll be able to give up your day job and all will be well. So New and Noteworthy is it's a part of the iTunes ranking system, and what we know about it really is that iTunes or Apple, is it Apple Podcasts now you're supposed
Apple
to call
Podcasts,
them?
Apple Podcasts, yeah, indeed.
So they calculate the new noteworthy rankings with this algorithm. It's based on like subscribers, ratings, and reviews. Mm-hmm. And one of the big pieces of misinformation out there about new and noteworthy is that you have to be inside your first 8 weeks of having appeared in the iTunes store. And the confusing thing about new and noteworthy is that it's called new and noteworthy. It should really be called new or noteworthy.
Yes.
Because a lot of shows that are in there are much, much older than 8 weeks and they're noteworthy. And they're basically being put in there by Apple. They've caught the eye of Apple for something that they're doing right, and they've been stuck in there. So, Colin, we've like between us both and the clients we've worked with, we've had quite a lot of shows in new and noteworthy over the years, and really, I don't know about you, but I've seen very little growth in numbers when we've been in there.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, so I mean, to answer one's question, it's not that hard to get into new noteworthy. The thing that is hard to do is to get up to the sort of top level of it, I suppose, isn't it? It's like up to that bar at the very top, which is maybe 5 or 6 long, is it? Well, it depends how big your iTunes thing is, isn't it? But how big your iTunes window is. So it's not that hard to get into. But when you do get in, people expect that, it makes a big difference. But yeah, the story I always tell is that we had two podcasts once about... How long ago was that now? It's probably a couple of years now. At least a year ago now, we had two shows that we released at the same time. It was two different clients, quite different subjects, but both probably, I would argue, in niches with a similar type of size of audience. So, you know, you can get, I mean, if we release a knitting podcast versus a politics podcast or something, there's quite different potential audiences there. You probably can't compare them very well. But the two that I'm talking about, I don't really want to say exactly who they were, but the two that I'm talking about, they were in similar types of niches, I think, and they're similar types of audiences. So I think they're pretty compatible. Now, both of them got into new noteworthy pretty quickly. So within the first week, and we saw very little change in terms of the downloads from that point. So they were getting a decent bit of traction because they both had a bit of an audience already. So they were getting in the low hundreds, so like 100 or so downloads in that first week. I think they were up to maybe sort of 150, creeping on for 200 within a few weeks. But the thing that the sort of the crux of this story is that one of those shows actually got into new noteworthy on the very front page. So the front page of the entire iTunes store. So we had one show was in top level, top row of new noteworthy in its category, which was the management and business one, like one of the biggest sort of traffic ones, the biggest competition ones, I would say. And then the other show got in the very front page. So a feature, new noteworthy of the entire iTunes store. Now, I would say if new noteworthy had an effect on your traffic, that should have had a big boost. If people were using new noteworthy to find shows, if being in new noteworthy had a big effect on your traffic, being on the front page of the entire iTunes store for close to a week it was, should boost your traffic massively, shouldn't it? But it didn't. It had no effect whatsoever. That show ended up having a bit more traffic than the other one, admittedly, but it was only in the hundreds. Like even having been on the front page of iTunes, the traffic by, I think, the 4, 5, 6 week process, like mid of new noteworthy, I think maybe 6 weeks, because it was coming on towards the end, was up about 400 or so downloads. Mm-hmm. So I didn't. And as soon as it came off new noteworthy, as soon as it came off the front page, not much change to the downloads. As soon as it came off new noteworthy altogether, you know, the end of that 8 week period, not much difference either. So that to me showed that it just has very little effect. And I just don't think people think. I've never listened to a show off. Well, I never say never, but I can't remember the last time I listened to a show off new noteworthy or browsed that way. I always search. I search per topic. Mm. I don't just browse by category generally.
And you talk about the front page in new noteworthy because it's worth mentioning. You know, you've got your front page, your top layer, and then they all split off into subcategories, and the subcategories have got other subcategories.
Yes. Yeah.
The front page of it, according to Rob, You can't even game that. You could get all the ratings, reviews, subscribers in the world.
Yeah.
That's all hand-curated on the front level. Right. So, you know, people are doing all these review swaps and stuff. Yeah. It's not moving them forward.
Yeah,
you know, it might get them featured in a subcategory somewhere. Yeah. It's the same with the comedy page as well. That's all hand-curated.
Really?
So you take into account, like most people are listening on their phone. Mm. If you're going into the podcast app, these new noteworthy subcategories, you know, you've got to, like, it's 3 or 4 clicks to get to one of these subcategories. Mm-hmm. You think, like, how much traffic are realistically coming in through that door?
Yeah.
Like you say, people are searching for stuff.
Yeah.
So
you put in a topic.
I mean, great to be featured anywhere with your show. It's really nice to see your show appearing somewhere, and it will never do you any harm. But the danger is just making that your reason, if you like, for podcasting, or, you know, being really obsessed with trying to accumulate ratings and reviews.
Yeah, cool. So you wrote an article on how to get more reviews, though, didn't you? So I think that's quite relevant. So what was the sort of crux of that then?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, I'm you know, I think getting reviews is good. It's good for the ego. It sort of fuels you up and keeps you going. I know ego is supposed to be a bad thing, but, you know, it's
motivation.
It's great to hear people are listening. It really is.
Yeah.
So I gave some tips in this article on how you might go about getting more ratings and reviews. And it's all based on your audience because, again, I'd never like to see people saying, like, could you 5-star me and I'll 5-star you, and they've never heard each other show it. Just what are you gaining from doing that? And you could spot these fake reviews a mile off.
Yeah.
Like, great show, 5 stars. Just nothing about it at all. Yeah. And they're all on the same date because there's been a group of them swapping them. So I thought, rather than moan about this, I'm actually going to do an article where I'm going to, like, hopefully help people to be able to get some honest reviews for their show, which, again, you know, is going to help them get featured in areas other than new noteworthy as well.
Yeah, so that's the thing, isn't it? We say you search by topic, and that search is determined much more by you know, ratings and reviews and recency of reviews and recency of ratings, that type of stuff. So that's why it's worth getting those reviews, isn't it?
Yeah, so my own podcast, like all the podcasts I've done over my period as a podcaster, my podcast lifespan, you know, I've never went out my way to ask for ratings and reviews.
Yeah.
Now and then at the end of a show, you know, when we were doing the audio drama production podcast, I would mention it now and then. And, like, once every couple of months you'd get a review and it was really nice. Mm. But I never tried really hard to get them.
Yeah.
And over the last year I've been doing an audio drama, and I've been putting an episode out every third week for the past year, and then put out a season finale, which was like, my episodes were generally 10 to 15 minutes long, and the season finale there was 50 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, that's like 4 hours solid content.
Mm.
And because these episodes have been so short, I haven't even had like credits.
Yeah,
you know, there's been nothing of me in there as a presenter, if you like. Yeah. It's all been acted.
Yeah.
So it's just this 4 hours solid of content. And at the very end of the last the season finale, I just came on and said thanks to the listener for listening. And I just was honest, and I said, look, I would really appreciate if you gave the show a wee review on iTunes.
Yeah.
And I didn't even go down there. You know, it helps us to be found in all this. I said, honestly, it's just for personal pleasure.
Just to stroke my ego.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I liked it because it was honest, it was transparent, and it was actually, it probably motivated people to do it, but it tied into the personality of the show too.
Yeah.
Because your show was kind of almost a piss take of quite a few different aspects of podcasting and audio drama and stuff, which is part of what made it great. So yeah, you tied in even your, when you stopped acting and started being the actual creator of it, you still followed along with that personality.
Yeah. So stuck that in there, and then you should never be shocked that something like this has actually worked. But then I was like, bloody hell, there has been like quite a lot of reviews.
Yeah,
I say
yeah.
quite a lot, you know, not by the standards of like the top podcast in the world that have got thousands and thousands, but you know, literally tens, if you like.
Yeah. Dozens of reviews. Yeah.
And
that's good. I mean, one request getting dozens of reviews is pretty powerful.
Yeah. And a wee plug for our pal Daniel J. Lewis's mypodcastreviews.com, because that's where I've been catching up with the international stores.
Yes.
it would take you a long time to go around them all individually. We've all done it once. that's a great wee website that I've been signed up to.
It's so good tool,
I get an email and it's like places I would never have checked, and I can't believe somebody there is listening to it. So that's it. Like so iTunes reviews are good. Try and get them, but ask your own audience for them. Don't swap them with people. Also, like, don't obsess over them as well. See it as a wee bonus for you, rather than like this thing that you have to do because you're going to get featured in somewhere that's not really going to benefit your show anyway.
And maybe be more sparing with it as well. I think that was probably something that came from yours. Like, you weren't doing it every week, so people didn't get more into it. You just did it once every, well, that was once every eight, was it eight episodes you'd done?
18. So four hours solid of audio drama, and then one request, and then I got a big flurry of them.
I would possibly argue you could do it more often than that.
Yeah,
but yeah, I think the points well taken. Like, you can definitely spread it out, and people will notice it more, probably action it more. You probably get more by doing it once every four episodes than how many you would get by doing it every week over those 4 weeks.
Like, if somebody was hearing that every 10 minutes, fair enough, it gets conditioned in their head, like Blue Apron or Stamps.com or that. But
you keep giving away free sponsors.
I know. I'll send them an invoice.
Yeah, cool. No, that's really interesting. I think that was good. I hope that answers Owen's question as well. We were probably a bit annoying and irritating by laughing about it and just making a joke about it.
We are having a private joke. Exactly. Go away, listener. Yes,
totally. So we'll try not to do that again. We're sorry. But yeah, cool. Does that tie up?
I think it does. Yeah. Give us an iTunes review if you've enjoyed this episode. Let's see if that works.
Yeah. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for spending time with us. If you want these show notes, go over to podcraft.net/802. And as always, we want more questions. Keep sending your questions in. You can fire them over to info@thepodcasthost.com, or you can tweet us at @thepodcasthost, and we'll answer them on a future show. Alrighty, will that do it for this week?
It will indeed.
Cool. We shall see you next time around. We're going to try and get this out every single week from now on. Be consistent and efficient and all that kind of caper. So join us again next week, and we'll talk to you then.